WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia. The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and welcome. Thanks for joining us. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark Sigmund, what do you have this week?
So the war on drugs is making a comeback in both California and Oregon. A new bill makes the possession of drugs such as heroin and methamphetamines a misdemeanor punishable by 6 months in jail. This comes after decriminalization of small amounts of these drugs. Basically, what they saw is the number of overdoses climbed 533% in outside of Portland between 2018 and 22.
Well, you see, we've been saying this for years. You know, when they started to decriminalize it and let, you know, people, you know, smoke away, it wasn't going to be that easy. It's going to get complicated. So now, is it starting to swing the other way, Mark?
It is. That's what they're saying, is that basically they're seeing an increase in homelessness. Voters are upset. So they had to come in here, and you're seeing it in places like Philadelphia right now in Kensington, where they're starting to put this war on drugs back in, and they're saying that this sort of harm reduction model is not working. I just think that there's got to be a middle ground.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting, and we'll have to see what happens. But, you know, it is crazy. San Francisco is having big problems right now, too. And, you know, you keep on hearing about it, this decriminalization for the users. So this bill actually goes after the users and not the drug dealers. Does that, so they're going the other way,
oh,
Gary.
Oh, man. What else you got?
So this is kind of a sad story. In a British IT worker in London befriended an elderly couple and poisoned them with fentanyl, monitoring their death with a cell phone, was sentenced to 37 years in prison on Friday. Luke DeWitt had created a fake will on his phone to make him a director of their shower mat company. He spiked their drink with fentanyl. He used these two mobile apps. Unfortunately, the elderly couple was found deceased 2 days later by their daughter. Tragic story, but it really goes to show how dangerous this fentanyl is and how many different ways it can come at us, Gary.
Yeah, this guy, Luke Nitwit.
Yes.
Should be his name. So it's another sad story.
It is.
And mental illness, drug addiction, all that plays into this story.
Yeah, it's a big killer, you know, kills animals, kills people. And now people are using it for murder. I mean, it's scary stuff. I've always been worried about Halloween, like trick-or-treating. We used to be worried about, you know, razor blades and apples. Now you're worried about fentanyl showing
up. You know who just joined us, who just walked in?
I'm not sure.
Larry M. just walked in. Larry, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Larry.
Thank you, Gary.
Good to see
you.
Pleasure
to be with you.
Good to see you. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And, you know, let me tell you, let me ask you something, Mark. Let's say you robbed a convenience store in your addiction. And now you're clean, you're sober. It's been 3 months. You're the greatest guy in the world. You think you should make amends to the shopkeeper that you pistol whipped and stole his money just because you're sober now?
No, I would still be hiding in my basement, Gary.
All right, well, let's
There's
do this.
No
let's
way.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's discuss who we should make amends to and who we should not.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Besides radio station WWDB in Philadelphia, you can also enjoy, watch, listen to our show on 97.5 FM, HD2 in Philly, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in the Sunshine State in Tampa, Florida.
We're spreading all over the world, Gary. And if you are watching this show, if you can go on Facebook and click share, and we can keep on spreading this. We have other countries. People are tuning in now. It's all good news, Gary.
It is. So, and Larry, welcome again to the show.
Thank you, Gary.
You know, so I wanted to talk about making amends, and it is, it can be a dangerous thing to make amends to the wrong person.
It really can. And I've heard, I'm sure you've heard, horror stories of people going and making amends and forgetting that there's a part of the amends is accept when to do so would harm yourself or others.
That's exactly right. Now, that is a subjective view. Who makes a decision? How do you make the decision whether you should make amends to somebody or not, thinking, you know what? And you're scared. I better not make amends to this guy. Because it could harm me, and a lot of times it can harm you.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to rationalize and think, well, I need to do an indirect amends, you know, and I don't want to go face to face. And I think it's something where, like, really working with the sponsor, you kind of try to work it out and figure out where you do and don't make amends. And the problem is people don't wait. They're like, they get clean and they're like, right away, I'm like, I'm going to go make amends right now and feel better.
Yeah.
You know, and try to work on my own guilt right here.
Yeah, exactly. Larry, what are your thoughts on making amends?
Well, I didn't make the decisions on my own. I had a trusted person as a sponsor and I ran things down in front of them. And people do the same with me. And when I'm working with somebody on amends, first thing I want to find out, one, are you making yourself vulnerable because the statute of limitations hasn't expired yet? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't be so vulnerable that you're going to walk into a jail cell just to straighten something
That's
out.
That's for sure.
And also, do you expect anything out of the amends? If you're doing it for personal gain, don't do it.
Well, when you make amends, and Larry, you and I talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Making amends is a selfish thing because those of us who have made amends, it relieves you, you know, it relieves your guilt and all that kind of stuff. And Larry, you brought up a good point yesterday. I'm trying to think what it was. Oh, my God. I forget what it was.
Our age is showing.
Huh? Our age. Where your guy's age
where
is showing.
Where am I? You know, you did bring up a good point. Damn.
Well, was it the
about
1%
making amends.
Rule?
It was what?
The 1% rule?
Well, tell us the 1% rule.
Well, one might be an exaggeration, but if I'm 1% to blame and the other person's 99% to blame, I still want to straighten out my 1%. In other words... Most amends are made. There's a two-way street on that. And I'm not concerned with the other guy and what he is and what he's doing. I only want to clear my end.
That's Why? The point I was thinking of, yeah.
I want a clean conscience because if I have to think about it, it's torture. And when I experience torture, I'm an addict. I drink. I use drugs.
Yeah, but you got to be smart enough to know who not to say anything to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, if there's expectations on it, don't do it.
Where does shame and guilt play a role in this? In terms of, you know, we talk about guilt is feeling bad about something, but shame is feeling like a really bad person. Do you think making amends helps work through shame and guilt?
Depends on the circumstance. I mean, I could give an example of an amends. I walked into a place, saw a guy I hadn't seen for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I let him know that I used to drink with the boss, and I got him fired.
Oh, you took a risk.
Yeah. And I didn't know what his reaction was going to be, and he started laughing. And he says, don't you realize the place went out of business a year later? But he could have cursed me out.
Or knocked you out.
Yeah. So for some reason, I knew I was supposed to do it. And I did talk to my sponsor first.
I would love to hear people call in to let us know of like an amends that you made, which maybe didn't work out well or maybe did work out well. Our number is 888-728-9941, 888-728-9941. And we would love to hear what was your amends that you made. And, you know, I just saw somebody said that, you know, why would you make amends to those? Why wouldn't you to those that you would harm?
Because it could be harmful to us.
Yes, or it could really harm another person, right?
Or our family members.
Yeah.
You robbed a dealer of a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Now you're goody two-shoes, but he's coming back, and he's going to get your whole family. You know,
that's a great point right there.
You never know. Right?
Absolutely no drug amends. I don't collect the debts from drug days. I don't pay the debts from the drug days. I walked away from the drug days.
That's a
you
good.
You did.
That's good. Yeah.
And there's no amends to make there.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us had any motive except to support self.
That's right. Hey, if you're just joining us now, we're talking about making amends. After you get into sobriety, and whether it's a good idea or it's not a good idea, depending on the situation, depending on the person you're going to make amends to. And again, as Mark just said, our number here is 888-728-9941. Let us know your experiences with making amends.
You know, and I thought, Larry, your point about not collecting money from the drug days was an interesting one. So suppose somebody owes you, you know, a ton of money, and maybe it wasn't from, you know, directly the drugs, but say they're using heavily. Would you still try to collect that money?
No.
You wouldn't. Why is that?
I'm not walking back to them. If they want to see me again, come into the rooms.
You mean as somebody like Larry who's been in sobriety for decades, for him to now – or when he just got out to go back into that world and try to get his money?
Or like call them up and try to get the money or you know what I mean? Like he knows they're using coke heavily.
I thought what you meant was Larry now thinking about who owed him money 30 years ago and he's going to go get it.
That probably would not be the best idea.
Right?
Don't you think? Yes.
Let's think logical.
Yeah.
They owed me money and I can't get them drugs anymore. Why would they care about paying me?
It's so true. It's so true. You know, they would just be so selfed up with their using that they
decide. They give me a good story. That's about as far as it goes.
Hey, if either of you guys had anybody come to you to make amends to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I sure did.
Tell me what happened.
So I had somebody that used to get really drunk in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, like really drunk beyond belief. And he would black out. And it was at a point in my life when I wasn't very assertive. And he would get really, really nasty with me, like personal about a lot of different stuff. And, you know, he was under the influence. When he was sober, he was fine, you know. And about 10 years ago, I got a phone call from this gentleman out of the blue. And he had gone into AA. And he had said to me, you know, he said, you know, I really apologize. Like he remembered being so mean to me, you know. And of course, I was like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, I'm just glad you're sober now. But he was really nasty at that point. But that was the only amends that has ever happened to me. Larry, you said you had one too?
Yeah, I had a guy who was relapsing and his life was going bad. And he went to my sponsor and was blaming me for the relapses at the time. And about 4 years later, I get a call from him. And we had a half-hour conversation. I could tell he was making amends with me. And there again, it turned into a two-way amends.
Okay.
I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm still capable of creating a situation that needs an amends today. And we don't try to be perfect. We try to be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anybody's ever made amends.
Gary,
I
really?
Don't know why.
Nobody's ever?
I feel bad asking you guys because it seems like people care to make amends to you.
I know they're out there. If anybody's listening that owes Gary Hendler an amends, you can call 888-728-9941. They got to be out there, Gary.
I can't think of anybody who would have to make amends to me.
Really?
Because I'm the one who harmed them.
Yeah, but you know how it is. It's a two-way street.
I guess
you know?
It is.
It's a two-way street.
Look, we knew each other when we were out there, Gary, but
yeah.
We never got close enough to harm each other.
That was the only reason, right, Larry?
Yeah. Giving me the opportunity, who knows?
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Where do you guys think humility plays a role in making amends?
I think it plays a big role in it.
Because it's not easy.
To be humble. I mean, yeah.
To go and face, you know, people we harmed. I mean, it's not easy, right?
I made amends to almost everybody except one person. And in a twisted way, I'm glad the person is no longer with us. So I don't have to think about it anymore.
We won't get too deep into that right now.
No.
Gary.
No. That's the only person.
That's the only person. Gotcha.
Yeah. And did that person the most harm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I guess, can you do amends after somebody's passed? That's another.
And who would you be talking with?
Well, that would be the big question, you know. I mean, well, you know, say somebody's passed away and you do an amends by doing an indirect amends and maybe donate to a charity or something in their name. Or, you know,
maybe making amends to a family member of theirs?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
But we have to really watch out when you try to make amends. You don't know what the reaction is going to be. But as you said yesterday, Larry, it doesn't matter what their reaction is. It's that you put it out there.
That's why some people write a letter and read it at the grave.
Oh,
I've never heard that one.
Let go of it. But one thing we have to remember about most of the amends, these people cared about us at one time. They really just want to know that we're doing okay.
I hope you're
I
right.
said most. Okay. I didn't say every. I said, but most of them cared about us at one time.
I want to tell you something. When I got clean for about 10 years, I had close friends of mine from before wouldn't talk to me. Either they didn't believe I was sober or what I allegedly did to them was so traumatic that they didn't want to let it go. And that can happen.
And what about the enemies, like the people that you were bitter enemies with, you know? Like, do you make amends to them or is that too risky?
Well, yeah, I guess you have to figure out why you're making amends.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you discuss the problem that comes up all the time. A newcomer will complain to me, my ex-wife won't let me see the kids. And he doesn't like the answer because it's blunt. I guess you'll have to earn it.
Well, this is a tricky subject. I mean, I got to tell you something. I can mention this because there's no names and whatever. When I got out of rehab 42 years ago, I went to apply for a job. And I opened my mouth and told this guy that was going to hire me, basically, that I robbed somebody of a lot of money. I, in my head, interpreted it. I was still screwed up even I was in rehab. I must be a very smart guy. He obviously interpreted correctly that I'm a thief. I'll never forget. I did that.
I'm taking it you did not get that job.
I am now the president of that company. No, no, I did not get that. But, you know, you mentioned it. When you come out of rehab, you think that everything is gone. Everything you did, nobody cares about it. We're starting a new chapter. It ain't like that. Because I got arrested 2 years after I got
arrested. I know you did. Gary had the FBI show up after him when he's clean.
But so, you know, I think we all do it. We come out of rehab, and we've learned a lot, and we want to be good people, and we think that the baggage that we left behind us is all cleaned up.
You know, it's ego in there too, because I remember like having an orange key tag of 30 days clean.
Yeah.
And I had it on my next to my keys. And I actually was like, I hope a cop pulls me over. You know, I can show him my orange key tag and that I'm staying clean.
Well, I sort of went through that.
You did.
When
tell
me
us about
and my
it.
Wife were driving back from New York on our honeymoon,
yeah,
I get pulled over at a sobriety checkpoint in Jersey, and the cop comes up to the window, real blunt, and goes, "How long since your last drink?" Looked at him, I said, 6 years. He didn't know what to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's a funny thing. Yeah.
So he gave me a keychain.
He gave you what?
A keychain that it said something about sober on it.
He gave it to you?
Yeah.
That's great.
So they might be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Now, I also made an amends to the last cop that drove me to the police station because I knew him since I was 19. I used to drink with him.
Oh.
And all I remember was he was nuts when he drank, just like me. And but when he drove me in, he was a sergeant. And I could see he wasn't nuts anymore. And I just looked at him. I said, "I'm sorry." And he turned around and he says, "You're not a bad person, you're sick."
Right, right.
And I think he's the first person I heard when he said that. And years later, I tracked him down, had lunch with him. And he looked at me and he was laughing and he says, "You know something? If I arrest somebody, the only time I see him again is if I arrest him again. You just broke the mold. Thank you."
That's nice.
That's awesome.
And that men's made them all worthwhile.
Hey, if you're just listening to us and you want to actually watch us do this show, which is a lot of fun, go to Facebook, go to our page on Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio, right now, and you can watch us do the show, just like these folks. Dr. Joel Cooper, Florida, is watching. Carlos Ricardo is watching. Hey, Carlos, what's up, man? Kathy Wolf Collin, Judge Christopher R. Maddox is watching.
I'll miss you next week. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, Chris is coming
on
next
week.
And Chris is just chilling out at home today because he's a hard worker. For him to take a day off, you know he's tired. Mike Brill is watching.
The man.
The man. Debbie Reynolds. Mike Brill says, this guy's incredible. Happy Friday, miracle workers.
That's awesome. And he's a miracle worker, let me tell you. Yeah. He's a therapist.
Is he?
Yes. He helps a ton of people.
Right. Rich Moyer, Ron Manquist, why shouldn't you make amends? Well, he put this out when we started the show. Look, it's a personal decision, and we gave our opinion. Why don't you call us, Ron, and let us know what yours is? George Heller, Gunnar Morten Nordang is watching. Lorna Nicole, David
Burgoyne.
Burgoyne, that's how you pronounce it. Susan Fleming, Brian Portakova. Is he your buddy? How do you know Brian?
Let me see the last name here. Let me take a quick look here. Brian Portakova. I don't.
Okay.
I'm very bad with names, Gary.
Me too. Well, he's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show, yes.
And Mark Willig is watching. Let's see. Carlos Ricardo says, this is why a sponsor is vital in this process. You're correct. Linda Carroll is watching. And Linda will be back here with us next week and co-hosting while you're out fishing, okay? Johnny Guthridge. Tara Ashley. Esther Ashcroft. Nanette Alquist. I am so terrible. What's Mark saying? SS. What's his social? Is that a social security number he wants to give out?
That's a great question. It's got a question mark in front of it too, Gary.
S with a question mark, Larry. What does that mean? I don't either.
We'll probably
Ruger.
Hear from him.
Laura Story. Hello, guys. Have a great weekend from Winter Haven, Florida.
Ah, she's out there enjoying the sun.
Well, you can meet her next week.
Yes.
Donna Edwards. We got a lot. We'll get to the rest of them later. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. Let's keep talking about this amends thing, man. It's important, especially for the newcomers, so they can try to figure out what to do. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope. And believe with the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you, within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking and let's go. Good luck to everybody and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Yeah, that drop is Mark Stein, as everybody knows. What a great guy. We've had him on the show plenty of times. And he was with Vanilla Fudge. Mark, you remember that band?
I've heard of them. I could tell you that. They weren't really like a big band when I was growing up. You know?
Loved them. They were back in 68 when I was in college.
That's right.
One year.
Mark, you remember the Brady Bunch? Is that more
I
like
sure
it?
Do. And I got to tell you, for you guys that lived through the 60s and 70s, I'm extremely jealous. Like, when I first started, I wanted to go back and be a hippie. And I was just, it was the 90s, you know? And I would have liked to go back and if I could take a time travel, probably not now in recovery, but you know.
I'm going to tell you right now, you would have had a lot of fun.
I'm sure.
Growing up with Larry and myself.
I'm sure. I probably would still be in prison right now, but you know.
You're just to be about, they're letting you out soon. You know?
Yeah, I'd just be getting out. Yep.
You know. How about Brad, our super duper guy in the studio that nobody sees, but he's here. He makes it all happen.
Yeah. Maybe we can take a look at you, Brad. He loves when we tell him to turn the camera on himself.
Yeah, your
he
hair says, looks all no. right today. It always looks the same. He's
it
got
does.
The best hair.
He really does.
It doesn't curl. It doesn't do anything, you know? Hey, listen, Leslie R. from Atlanta, Georgia asked us, how do you determine if your loved one goes to in or outpatient treatment, Mark?
So my suggestion would be, make sure you go and have them take an evaluation with an addictions professional to make that decision. You know, just trying to figure it out on your own can be tough. Most of the time I lean towards inpatient myself as a clinician to start and then step down to outpatient because a lot of times people, they'll have withdrawal and it can be dangerous to come off certain drugs. So that's usually where you shoot for is the inpatient, but sometimes they won't go.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, when you're asking as somebody's addicted to substance, to ask them to make a decision is usually almost ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're going to a lot of times try to do as least or nothing, right? Yeah. But if there's pressure, they may go along with some other things. I mean, some people are just very willing and they'll be like, hey, I'll do whatever I need to do. But
really? But
many times it's pressure from the wife or pressure from the husband, you know, or family, or work pressure or DUIs or, you know, things like that that actually gives them that push to go in.
Well, this goes right into what you were just saying. Howard C. from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. What do you think would happen if I told my employer that I have an alcohol problem and need to go to treatment?
So if you tell your employer, you are actually protected by, I believe it's the American with Disabilities
Absolutely
Act.
Absolutely correct.
Yes. And they would have a responsibility to give you that chance to get treatment. And if they have like an EAP, which many of the big companies do and stuff, they should help you along with that decision. I have people that do that. They self-report and they're just so desperate at that point. You know, so just know that you do have a level of protection there.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to think that they could be doing harm at work, using or doing other things. They're not protected at that point. You can be fired.
Yes, if there was harm done, you know, but I've had a ton of people actually that had minor accidents and things like that at work that were pushed into treatment from their employer. And,
really?
Yeah. But I guess it differs from case to case. But I am glad to just know that I know you for one shot at treatment, you know, I think if it's a repetitive thing, it's a different story, but I don't know the law particularly on that, you know.
I think it's a nice thing that the federal government has made, our community, the ADA, protected. Yeah.
Well deserved, right? I mean, you know, if a disease like diabetes or any other disease, right?
Yeah. But that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the laws were with regards to 20 years ago.
Here's what the laws were. You tell your boss you're using and he tells you to hit the...
Was that what would happen?
Yeah, Larry, isn't that right? There was none of this nonsense.
It depended on the boss again.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
And
that's correct.
I've seen recovered alcoholics make the best employees.
Absolutely.
So you're still a good investment for them.
Yeah, it's the stigma.
It's worth trying.
Stigma.
Yeah, and I've had a ton of people as a therapist that have gone back to work and done great jobs, and I talk to them years later, and they're still sober and they're thriving, you know. And I'll tell you, a lot of times addicts, alcoholics can be very obsessive, which actually can be a good quality with work. They can work very hard, sometimes too hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's true. Cindy P. from Lansing, Michigan. Can I have my 20-year-old committed to a rehab?
You cannot. You cannot
right.
get them committed. If they are, you know, a threat to themselves or others, you can pursue what's called a 302 in Pennsylvania. In different states, they have different names for it, and that's an involuntary commitment. But again, they have to be a danger to themselves or others. If somebody's just, you know, using... I guess there could be some cases where it's so bad and they're not taking care of themselves at all and everything where you could possibly, you know, pull something like that.
Well, the 302 goes to a psychiatric facility.
Yes.
Not a rehab.
No.
I don't think a rehab is going to take somebody if they're violent. I
mean, yes, they will not. They will not.
Do you ever have patients that are violent with you?
Yes. I got... you know, years ago, I came close to getting stabbed.
Really?
Yes. I worked at an outpatient place where people were living in the community, and I went to check on a client that was a paranoid schizophrenic, and they thought I was some kind of crazy doctor coming after them, and I got, chased basically with scissors.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, years. This was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I got my nose broken before when I worked in a psychiatric inpatient facility, headbutted in the nose.
Somebody's going to hit you?
Yeah, I got it bad. Let me tell you, it was bad.
You know, for our audience, I guess they see us from the waist up. Mark's a tall guy. Mark's a big boy.
I'm a little bit tall, 6'3" and a half, right?
Brad, how tall are you?
Significant. Remember, one of the nicknames for alcohol is liquid courage.
That's a great point.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Let me see.
I think we all had some of that, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
I'm having lunch tomorrow with the guy who used to be the bouncer in the bar I drank at.
Oh, really?
And I was a wimp. And every time I shot off my mouth, I would hide behind him.
Larry, were you a drinker? I knew you were a Quaalude guy, but I didn't know you were.
I was a garbage can. Whatever I could put in me, I put in me.
Jeez. crazy, right?
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy.
See, where my friends matured and eventually weaned off it, I got worse.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever wonder why?
Never really gave that a good thought.
You know, it's...
But today I don't regret that it happened. Because I love the life I'm living.
Well, that I was going to say, because the end of your story is a good story.
I love my life today. And I think my original sponsor said it years ago. He says, if I had to go through all that pain out there again to get this way of life, I'd do it in a second.
Yeah, we have an interesting one, if you don't mind me reading it.
Yeah,
it just
man.
Came
Please
in on
do.
This. When we talked about the 70s, Allison Price Berwick says, I'm a 70s girl. Innocent times in many ways. We left the house without a phone, rode bikes, swim teams, Cottman Mall, mass every week. Friends watched out for each other. No helicoptering, made mistakes. Learned of love and ABCs, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. And I recall all those 70s lyrics.
I can totally identify with that.
Can you?
Yeah.
I was reading that. I'm like, this sounds like it should be in a poetry book or
something.
Yeah,
I can like feel that.
Really?
Yeah.
What part of it?
The going outside, you know, there's no phones, playing outside till it's dark. It was real, you know, you had a lot of interaction with other people. Not like today where these kids are just on their phone. I can absolutely relate to that. Larry, you're a little bit older than me, but what, about 15 years?
You know, times it gets to me how dependent I am on that phone.
Me too.
I'm more dependent on that than I was the drugs.
Well, let me ask you guys.
Yeah.
If you could just say that phones were completely gone, cell phones, would you go back to landlines?
For everybody.
For everybody. Would you go back to landlines?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But it just everybody.
I mean, I thought about trying to get a flip phone with no internet, and my brother told me I was crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't have
this day and age.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'd be so much more peaceful. People can just get you anytime now with these phones.
Yeah, and worse than just the ringing, it's the internet where you have instant access to everything that's going on in the world, whether it's true or not. But the stimulation of these phones, especially for younger kids, is terrible.
Do you ever find, like, if you're feeling bad, you go on your phone? I find that sometimes. Like, I'll go on my phone and start scrolling when, like, I'm under stress. And I start to think, like, wait a second, that's kind of like using it away. Not anything, not as serious, but, you know, like going to distract using the phone.
Could you go without the phone tomorrow, all day? I know you're going on a road trip, but all day, can you make it with one day, you think?
You know, I haven't tried for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could pull it off for a day, but I think that I would have some real gaps in my day, and I would also have feelings to deal with that I deal with the phone.
It's the same thing if I said to you, could you have, in the old days, gone without drugs for just one day?
Yes, and you know the scary part? They call this process addiction. And people don't talk about it enough. And process addictions can be, give you an example, gambling is a process addiction, and they have a high rate of suicide with gambling. Mm-hmm. And these process addictions with VR and phones and all this stuff, I think we're going to see some super big problems 20, 30 years, you know, giant. I mean, even now we're seeing them, but I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse.
Well,
with
because
VR.
The technology is going to, 100 times, this will be like ridiculous. It'll be so primitive. Larry, could you go with one day without your phone?
I can't picture it. I mean, I've left the house and forgotten it. And every 3 minutes, I'm reaching for it, and it's not there.
Yes. I've done that. Yeah,
I've been on the phone and want to know, where's my phone?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's on your ear, right?
You're not old enough, Gary. You're going to do the same thing with your glasses soon.
I already do that.
But the worst is when you forget your phone. You know, at home, you know, and you forget it and you feel like nobody can contact you. And, you know, back in the day, somebody said on here they still have a landline, but it was like, you know, somebody could call you back 2 days later and it's fine. Now it's like you got to call right back.
Can you imagine if you were going on your vacation like you are and you forgot and left your phone here and now you...
I would have to buy a phone.
You would have to, right?
I think I would. I think I am addicted, Gary.
We all are.
I think I would go to an Apple store and buy a phone.
You would, of course.
You know, that's kind of scary. You know, I wonder what other people think if everybody's addicted on here. You know,
is everybody sleeping today? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. Our number is, and I see our buddy Lou Montana on here, 888-728-9941. That's 888-728-9941. If you want to call in and tell us about making amends or process addictions or any of the topics today, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, let me just give a couple more people. I think Larry brought a lot of viewers onto this place today. Heather Marie, Ed McCash, Kevin Heyer. You said Lou was on. You know, it's great.
Steve Ruger
says he still has a landline. I tell you something. We finally got rid of, and it was very difficult to cut the landline off.
You have to. Do you want to know why?
Why?
So if you have some, I won't say the name of companies, but, you know, they'll do this triple play where you get a landline and you get cable. They give out your landline to people. I know they do.
Because
ours used to ring off the hook, and we would get telemarketers ending up calling our house. We ended up like completely getting rid of the landline and just using the cable. You know, I don't know if it's still like this. This was a couple years ago.
I don't know.
But what was hard for you about getting rid of a landline?
Well, first it was the kids, I think. We wanted to make sure if I turned my phone off at night that they had they could call. It's just we've had them forever. It's like, you know, maybe getting rid of your television. I don't know.
Remember when you could listen in to people's landlines? Like my brothers would be on the phone and I would try to pick up the phone upstairs real quiet and you'd be listening and they would catch you. They'd be like, are you somebody on the phone up there?
Do you know what a, when you share?
Party line.
You know what a party line is?
You mean the old, like, you know, shady party lines that people called?
In like the 50s and before.
No, you shared a number.
You shared a
with
number.
With somebody.
So your phone could ring in your house. It's really for your next door neighbor.
Really?
Yeah. That's crazy.
You go to make a call and somebody be on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
This went on into the 60s. I knew people across the street from us that had a party line.
Wow. It's funny how you learn something new every single day. And since I was born in 75, I never knew.
75. God, 3 years after I was born. That's nuts. But like, guess what? In the old days with the landline, because you didn't have so much quick interaction, way less amends, I would imagine.
Oh, my gosh. The stories you hear about the drunk text messages as a counselor. I mean, there's things go down with these text messages. You know, and regrets. I mean, you're exactly right on that, you know?
Well, you remind me of blackout days. I call somebody and say, after what you said last night?
Yeah.
I can't remember last night.
Nothing worse, right?
We didn't have that. You're not remembering with the Quaaludes. Uh-uh.
And it's funny because
you didn't take enough.
I barely.
Oh, yes, I did, Larry.
The funny thing is that, you know, and I've been around drugs and alcohol and all this for a long time. The only time I meet so many ex-Quaaludes addicts is when I hang out with Gary Hendler over here and he brings in his crew from the old days. Because you don't even, you never even hear of those things, you know?
You were so deprived, my friend. You know that?
There
was a song called You Were Born Too Late.
It was, what was it? They went out. I was 8 years, 7 years old, 1983. They stopped making
84.
Them. 84. You know the date.
I know the time.
It's like March 13th at 10 p.m. in 1984.
Larry was crying that day when he heard that.
Yes. I took that worse than total abstinence.
Really?
When they said the Quaalude was going off the market, I was in total fear. How am I going to sleep at night?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. Now, did they just completely disappear right away, or did you guys hoard them for a while? And
I tried to hoard them, but how can you hoard them when you're using them?
And this is the crazy part that I'm wondering is how do you – like, they got rid of these drugs in the United States. I've never heard of a drug that they successfully just took off the market and it's gone. You know, like, you can't get them in
there
America.
There are some, but this was so ingrained in society for certain groups of people.
Gotcha.
I was clean before they you know, before they got rid of him.
Were you like, thank God at that point? Were you
I
like,
was laughing.
Oh, you must have been like, all right.
All right, guys, suffer. Why not? But it must have been scary.
Yeah, well, today I'm wondering, why can't they eliminate fentanyl like they did quaaludes?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, because fentanyls, because quaaludes were manufactured in a controlled situation in a lab in a pharmaceutical company, and fentanyl is just all over. Hey, we got to take another break. We come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, this is Dion, the Wanderer. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio. You might hear something that'll change your life. Yo!
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back, everybody. I just want to thank everybody for joining in by text, by whatever you're doing. You know, Andrea Diaz.
My beautiful wife.
Roberta Sanders. Jim Meehan. Marlene Reese Orens Lerner. Just a couple people.
It's so great that everybody tunes in on Fridays and we all get to hang out with them.
Yeah.
The message board, this Facebook thing is my favorite. Like just being able to talk to people that are tuning in and feel like they're in the room with us, don't you?
I do. I definitely do.
And we, you know, it's funny because Gary and I talk about this. Like if Brad's ever away, we feel like something major is missing without the live stream going on. Right.
Yeah. But when Brad's not here, we can do whatever we want because nobody can see us.
That's true. That's true. You should see how Gary dresses when Brad's not here.
Yeah, at least I get dressed. it's true. It's Brad's whole thing with it's an added dimension to the show.
And it gives us ideas. I mean, we run out of stuff sometimes, and you guys chime in.
Like right now.
Like right now, and why we're talking about this right now. Right.
Philip R. from Santa Rosa, California. That's up in the wine country, North California. If I am driving and get pulled over and the officer smells weed, am I in trouble? I have a medical marijuana card.
You guys know the answer to that, right? Yeah, absolutely you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
impaired driving.
It's impaired driving, and gosh, at some point they're going to be really figuring out a breathalyzer or something.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a big problem.
We've always said it for years and years
and years. Big problem. I mean, the amount of DUIs or DW, whatever, driving with ability impaired by drugs is just going to be off the charts. You know, I think they almost can't do it because they know that it's just so prevalent.
And maybe the states don't have the manpower to arrest. Is that what you're saying? To arrest and to prosecute because it'll be so out of control.
And people will be so mad. You know, in other words, like there's so much. I drive down the highway. I can smell it.
Yeah, you tell you smell it, yeah.
Yeah, I smell it everywhere. Everybody smells it everywhere. doesn't count. Right.
It is crazy. And everywhere. People need to be educated. Just because you have a medical marijuana card doesn't mean you're scot-free. Because if you're impaired and there's no breathalyzer now, you'll be taking it for blood.
And the scariest thing, I actually read a story about this the other day where somebody got in a fatal accident and killed somebody and they got, vehicular homicide. Now, they could have just gotten in that accident randomly, but they tested positive for THC and they got the book thrown at
them.
So
the difference would be one would be an accident and one you're going to be prosecuted.
Yeah, and it could just be that it just happened randomly and would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Larry, were you ever pulled over?
No, only for holding because they expected me.
Holding
drugs. They knew I had drugs on me, but they knew that before they pulled me over.
How did they know?
Look, you're in the drug community. One person rats out of another to save himself. that's the kind of environment you live in.
How much were you holding?
I don't know. It was small things.
Yeah.
But, you know, to answer your question about driving under marijuana, it's the same as driving under liquor. Liquor's legal.
Yeah.
But not to drink while you drive.
But I think people, because marijuana is illegal federally, they think, I got a marijuana card. I can do what I want.
And don't you think, I mean, I'll just go out on a limb, though,
yeah,
on the other side of it. Don't you think people drive better under the influence of marijuana than alcohol? I mean,
I don't even know. I get, it seems like they do.
I mean, I thought I used to drive just fine. You know, yeah. I mean, who knows? But, you know, alcohol is, but I did see tests done where it definitely impairs you, but I don't think it impairs you as much as alcohol does as a driver.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good question.
We have Monica McNally Picorni is watching, our long-lost Monica McNally Picorni. And I am saying this right on after all those years.
We butchered her last name for years.
4 years. Yeah. 4 years. And we got to hear from her one of these days again.
We really do. Yeah, that's great. She's watching.
Yeah, I bet she's got court too. Cause
no, I don't think she's doing that anymore.
She's not doing it anymore.
No, we had Judge on Eisenberg. What was his first name?
Yeah, I forget. She's sitting there like, oh, these guys with their names again. You know,
Bill Stahl.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah. So what else is doing, guys?
I don't know what Jim Meehan's saying here. He says, we still need making a duck to fix things, but we haven't not made enough duct tape yet, but we're working on it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Who's that?
Jim Meehan.
Jim,
yes.
Something going on here?
Duct tape. Yeah, to fix everything. To fix everything. All that's wrong with society right now.
Yeah. So you're not going to be here next week, are you?
I am not. I am leaving tomorrow if all goes planned. I'm not prepared. But my son and I are going up. We're starting in Gettysburg. We're going to go to some Civil War places, and we're going to drive down 95 and go all the way to the Keys. And my brother lives in Fort Lauderdale.
That is going to be so fabulous. You bring all your fishing gear.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm driving, because you can fit all your stuff in it, and you don't have to deal with, like, the plane and all that. It's a long – well, I don't have to tell you. I'm sure you've done it before. It's a long drive.
It is a long drive. When you get to the border of Georgia and Florida where it says, welcome to the Sunshine State – you got hours and hours and hours to go.
You know, somebody told me that Georgia is actually our biggest state. I didn't know if I believed
it. No, it isn't.
Mike Brill said
– I thought it was Alaska.
I thought it was Texas.
He said by mass or something.
No, it isn't.
You don't think so?
No, the person who told you that should be watching this show and listening.
He is watching the show and listening. Is. Mike Brill, he told me that
Mike's
today.
Mike's a great guy.
He is. He said that there's – I don't know if it's not like the length, it's something about Georgia, which is the largest. I didn't believe it because I think Florida and Texas.
No, it's Texas and Alaska.
We're going to have to look this up afterwards.
Somebody quickly let us know.
How big is Georgia? Just Google it, you know?
I know what, do you know what shape it is?
It's shaped like an orange, a peach, right?
Is that why they call it the peach state?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure.
Let me ask you something. You're going to be with your son.
Yeah.
So you're not going to hit any meetings down there. That's too difficult.
I'll be tuning into some Zoom meetings.
That's great.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just trying to picture out, you know how long car rides when you're young seem?
Oh, my God.
How long do you think this car ride's going to feel for a 13-year-old?
Well, you're going to have to make some stops, obviously.
Yes. Can I go to the bathroom? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you know,
eating and
yeah,
but it'll be fun. He'll be able to experience a lot of things.
That's what I was thinking, you know, and he loves the Civil War, and I think it'll be really cool. Unfortunately, my wife can't go. She's still getting some of this dizziness stuff but she'll be at home, and we'll keep calling her and FaceTiming her.
Yeah. You know? So sort of wrap it up here. Larry, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
No, Gary, it's a privilege.
It really is great. Mark, have a great vacation.
Thank you, Gary.
You know, Brad, as usual, thanks. Tyler, thank you. And just remember, seriously, when you want to make amends, whether you just got sober or you've been sober for years and years and years, be careful. Making amends is a good thing, but can also be
Destructive.
Destructive.
And you need a trusted person in your life to discuss it with.
Good point.
Don't share it at a meeting.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. To get Clean and Sober Radio on your local radio station, reach out to us on our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and we'll try to help you with that. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Larry.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for all your support.
On behalf of the group and ourselves, I hope we pass the audition.